This law, he read, known popularly as La Loi Marthe Richard, closing all houses of ill fame and forbidding the sale of pornographic books and films, knocked the bottom out of his investment almost overnight, and suddenly Le Chiffre was faced with a serious deficit in his union funds. In desperation, he turned his open houses into maisons de passe, where clandestine rendezvous could be arranged on the borderline of the law, and he continued to operate one or two cinéma bleu underground. But these shifts in no way served to cover his overheads, and all attempts to sell his investment, even at a heavy loss, failed dismally. Meanwhile, the police des Moeurs were on his trail, and in a short while 20 or more of his establishments were closed down. The police were, of course, only interested in this man as a big-time brothel keeper, and it was not until we expressed an interest in his finances that the Deuxième Bureau unearthed the parallel dossier which was running with their colleagues of the police department. The significance of the situation became apparent to us and to our French friends, and in the past few months a veritable rat hunt has been operated by the police after the establishments of the Cordon Jaune, with the result that today nothing remains of Le Chiffre's original investment, and any routine inquiry would reveal a deficit of around 50 million francs in the trade union funds of which he is the treasurer and paymaster. It does not seem that the suspicions of Leningrad have been aroused yet, but, unfortunately for Le Chiffre, it is possible that, at any rate, Smersh is on the scent. Last week, a high-grade source of Station P reported that a senior official of this efficient organ of Soviet vengeance had left Warsaw for Strasbourg via the eastern sector of Berlin. There is no confirmation of this report from the Deuxième Bureau, nor from the authorities in Strasbourg, who are reliable and thorough, and there is also no news from Le Chiffre's headquarters there, which we have well covered by a double agent, in addition to 1860. If Le Chiffre knew that Smersh was on his tail, or that they had the smallest suspicion of him, he would have no alternative but to commit suicide or attempt to escape. But his present plans suggest that while he is certainly desperate, he does not yet realize that his life may be at stake. It is these rather spectacular plans of his that have suggested to us a counter-operation, which, though risky and unconventional, we submit at the end of this memorandum with confidence. In brief, Le Chiffre plans, we believe, to follow the example of most other desperate till robbers and make good the deficit in his accounts by gambling. The bourse is too slow. So are the various illicit traffics in drugs, or rare medicines, such as Oreo and streptomycin and cortisone. No racetracks could carry the sort of stakes he will have to play, and if he wins, he would more likely be killed than paid off.